For many of us, the Labor Day weekend is a time to get away from work, but fall brings dusted off resumes and thoughts of job changes and taking the plunge into a new career, a new field. We will have more about that on Monday's Labor Day program, but we want to end this work week with a discussion about some of the opportunities and obstacles in the tech world for women workers. Women did well during the recession. They have consistently outpaced men in overall job growth since 2009. But Kara Miller, host and executive editor of the Innovation Hub program, says there are surprising roadblocks in front of women tech workers and problems in the pipeline for a new generation of women coders and inventors. Kara Miller says even successful women are learning lessons the hard way in high-stakes deal-making, in direct competition with men.
I think that women actually tend to, in some ways, undersell themselves, which is a little bit of a problem in the tech scene. I once had a woman who ended up being very successful raising venture capital funds say to me, you know, I would go in, I would pitch venture capitalists, I would say, here's my idea, it's really good, it's going to make this much money. And I had somebody come up to me and pull me aside and say, you know what, no, you need to triple that amount of money. Because the way a man would pitch is that it would be much more optimistic. And she said, well, but I'm trying to give them a real impression of how much money they're really going to make. And he was like, no, you're never going to get anywhere with that. And so she subsequently tripled the amount that she thought she would really make and was very successful.
You know, some of the stories that you've heard on your program, Innovation Hub, really do tell the story of how women have had to sell themselves and how that's not always completely pleasant. Here's Paula Hammond, who's a nanotechnology wizard, speaking with you.
One of the things that I noticed when I was an undergraduate was that there was a kind of need to sort of position yourself or show that you were good that was unique to being a woman and being a minority at MIT. And that could become tiring at times.
People have to pedal faster to make it work?
Yeah, I mean, here she was in the 1980s at MIT, which at that time was very white and very male. And on the one hand, she felt like, wow, you know, these are my people. These are the nerds. I finally feel at home. And on the other hand, people wondered why she was there. They were sure because she was a woman and she was black that she didn't really belong there. And they sort of wanted proof that she should be there. So I do think that you have this situation where at many big tech companies, women fill very, very few of the tech roles. And so you become the person who represents your race or your gender very often, which is not that comfortable a role to be in, I think. But that's sort of still where we are when you've got less than 20% of, you know, people at Twitter and Google in tech roles being women.
On the other hand, in places where there are women in leadership, you've got a data-driven leadership team that's really looking at trying to improve things. And a lot of those leaders are graduates of the very undergraduate classes you just referred to. Here's Marissa Mayer talking about, you know, her concerns about changing the, you know, sort of the diversity in her own workforce at Yahoo.
Well, the trend overall is concerning. In the late 80s, we were almost as high as 40% women in computer science. But that's also working off of a much smaller base. As you can imagine, there were very few computer scientists in the 1980s. Today, there's more like 14%. And I think it's important to think about that because I actually think that a lot of the discussions around women in computer science are premature. Because the issue right now isn't that there's not enough women in computer science. The issue is that there's not enough people in computer science.
Are there bottlenecks in the pipeline? Is that true for men and women?
Yes. So computer scientists make a lot of money often coming right out of their bachelor's degrees. And it's interesting. When I talked to Marissa Mayer, she said that, you know, she really didn't start computer science until she got to Stanford. And she always felt like she was behind. She always felt like she was playing catch up. And I think we need computer science to filter down to the elementary school level, to the high school level, and to hook especially girls in there, because if they want to be candidates for those jobs that are going to make them a lot of money, they have to sort of make that early connection and not see it as something where you can only take computer science if you've finished calculus. It should be something that's part of everything. You should be able to code your English project if you want to and do something really cool.
And not think of computer science as more of a specialty. Here's Deborah Spahr speaking with you about this very subject.
We may need to think about how we teach computer science, Not that we're dumbing it down, but, you know, are we teaching it in ways that might make it more amenable to women? I think we also have to think about how we in academia conceptualize computer science. Right now, it's kind of off on its own with engineering. Should we rethink computer science and treat it as a science, the same way we treat chemistry and biology, where we have lots of women? Should we think of it as a language, the way we treat French and Italian? I think there may be other ways to sort of get it into the required curriculum.
And if anybody's going to do it, she is, as the head of Barnard.
Right. Now, I think that is so fascinating that she thinks about it potentially as a language, because you hear, in a way that's natural, you hear people all the time saying, what computer languages do you know? Java, C++, Python, whatever. So in some ways, it is a natural fit with language, which you can imagine might bring so many more girls in. Because as she said, it is off in this sort of ghettoized place where you can very often only take it if you've done all sorts of math. But you don't need calculus to learn how to code in Java. You don't need that. And so we sort of have it in this artificial place that, I have to say, because of where it is, tends to have fewer girls feeding into it. And that should not be the way it is. You know, we heard from Marissa Meyer, one of the things that she really points out is we need people who don't just do computer science as a job. They're not just coders. They're journalists who know how to code. They are doctors, but who happen to know how to code. That would be incredibly helpful, to have people who have that kind of diversity of knowledge.
Enriching the culture of corporate America, especially in the tech world. And nobody likes to talk about quotas, but you talked with TV journalist Liz Claman, who says there are quotas at, of all places, Davos.
Davos and the organizers finally got to the point where they said, left to your own devices, you corporations are still not bringing women along with your teams. Now, the way Davos works is you pay a certain fee and you get to bring 5 to 10 people. Klaus Schwab of Davos basically started to say, one of those people at least has got to be a woman now, or don't bother coming.
Yes, I think this points to something really important, which is if all the really important people get together once a year and there are almost no women there, that means the women aren't making the connections. They are not sort of forging the relationships that are going to make them those decision makers in the future. That should concern everybody, I think.
Kara Miller, host and executive editor of Innovation Hub. As we get into the weekend, have a happy Labor Day there, Kara.
Thanks, you too.